Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. What's the compatibility of modern faith and modern physics? Is evolution in conflict with faith? Does the universe have a beginning? The second annual Aquinas Lecture welcomes Stephen Barr. He's a professor of physics and astronomy at the University of Delaware. His lecture is called The Science, Religion, and the Myth of Conflict. That program is a partnership between Mount Marty College, the Catholic Diocese of Sioux Falls, and the Classics Institute at Dakota State University in Madison. The Aquinas Lecture is scheduled for March 3rd at 7 p.m. That's at the Cathedral of St. Joseph Parish Hall in Sioux Falls. And joining us now, we have Stephen Barr on the phone. Welcome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Also with us, the director of the Classics Institute at Dakota State, Dr. Joseph Bottom. Welcome back.
Thanks, Lori.
And let's start with you because the Aquinas Lecture, this is the second annual lecture. What's the, what's the spark behind it? What are you hoping to sort of bring to the conversation in South Dakota?
Well, when I came over to help out Dakota State with at a philosophy program and think about some deeper issues, I decided to try and contribute to the intellectual life here in eastern South Dakota. And I got talking to some people at Mount Marty's and thought I would help start up this lecture series where we bring in prominent people and have them talk about the deposit of intellectual work in the church and elsewhere, and kind of long, middle brow takes on serious issues of thought. And last year was the first one, and we didn't have any money because it was brand new, so I gave it. I gave the first lecture because I would do it for free. And then, the second person, the very first person I thought of that I would like to bring in was Steve Barr. And we were fortunate enough to get him, and he's going to give the second of these Aquinas lectures. And it's not aimed at specialists in physics or theology. It's aimed at the literate general audience that I believe exists here in eastern South Dakota.
Dr. Barr, let's talk about your role in physics and then also in faith. And the first thing I want to know is if your entire life have you had to answer questions about whether these two things are compatible, or has it been something that you've been, following this thread to saying, these are two, really important parts of who I am, and I want to think more deeply about them?
Actually, the latter. I mean, from time to time, I am asked by people, religious people included, whether I have any difficulty reconciling being a scientist and being a person of faith. But actually, I've been thinking about such questions since I was quite young, since my teenage years. As you say, these are two, part ways of making sense of the world. I've always been a Catholic, and I've always been scientific in my outlook. And it's important for me that everything hold together in a coherent way. And that's part of the reason why I'm a physicist. I like to see how things fit together coherently and make sense. And so it was important that that the religious picture of the world and the scientific picture fit together in a coherent fashion.
What direction is your physics research taking right now? What are you interested in?
Well, actually, I've just retired as a professor at the University of Delaware in January, so I could spend full time. I'm 66, so I thought it was not a bad time to retire and spend full time on science faith questions, because I'm the president of something called the Society of Catholic Scientists, which started in 2016, and that's in itself a full-time job. But I have been doing research for over 40 years, and my field of research was theoretical particle physics. So that has to do with things like quarks and neutrinos.
Thank you. Because I needed a minute to process that. I appreciate you filling in that blank.
Other physicists think we're arrogant because people in particle physics tend to think that we're doing the most fundamental physics, because the goal of the field of particle physics is to find out what are the fundamental constituents out of which everything is made, and what are the fundamental laws, and what are the fundamental forces. So that in a nutshell is what particle physics is all about.
All right. So how does faith fit into that then? Is that part of the daily conversations that you have? Is it something, I guess what I'm really trying to get at here, Dr. Barr, is just, you know, how they intersect in your daily life.
Faith questions don't come up in one's work as a physicist any more than in one's work if one is a religious baseball player, auto mechanic, physics, frankly, is a very technical. It's a technical skill. Physics deals with a certain limited range of questions about how the physical world works, and whereas faith is a much broader, deals with deeper and broader questions. But I would say there is a connection in this. There are many connections, but one connection is this: that one of the traditional arguments for the existence of God goes way back to Scripture and to early Christian writers, is that the world is an orderly and lawful place. That was always regarded as one of the main arguments for the existence of God. It explains why the world is orderly and lawful, and our job as physicists is to uncover what those laws are and to explore the orderliness, show how the world is orderly.
For people who are saying, is the world really orderly and lawful? What's your response as a physicist?
Well,
Because sometimes it just doesn't seem like it, right? Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, as far as events go, I mean, there's a lot of haphazardness and chance and so on in the world. The world is not rigidly ordered. Everything doesn't move in lockstep.
Right.
Which you wouldn't expect if there's a God, because if everything were so rigidly ordered by the laws of nature, there would be no scope for, you know, responsible beings like ourselves. But yeah, one thing that's been discovered as in the history of physics, especially in the last 100 years, is how profound the order of nature is. Nature is based upon very deep mathematical laws, which exhibit very rich and intricate and subtle mathematical structure. The world's not built with Legos, you know. It's based on very deep mathematical ideas. So actually, that's something that the modern physics has, in a way, strengthened the argument for God, because it's shown us how incredible the order of nature is at the deepest level.
Mm. Dr. Joseph Bottom, this is something you think about from your own, discipline. And talk a little bit, if you will, Dr. Bottom, about interdisciplinary conversations like this, because not everyone is going to study, you know, physics at this level, or mathematics, or you know, a million different things, but putting things in the same room and having these conversations creates something new, doesn't it?
It does. You know, not everybody's going to think about physics in the same way as not everybody's going to think about medicine. And yet, you know, I like that analogy, because we all do eventually end up having to think about medicine as we grow old and sickly. And in the same way, you know, we all encounter at least that our lives seem to be filled with truths. There are truths in poetry, there are truths in our faith lives, there are truths that we perceive about the physical universe. And the deep commitment that you call interdisciplinary is finally, you know, comes to us best phrased by Thomas Aquinas, after whom this lecture is named, which is the unity of truth. That if we're really committed to a world that makes sense, if we think that it's possible to know things, then we can't live with double truth, as though, well, there are things that are true in poetry, but they're not true in physics, or there are truths in theology that I believe are true on Sunday morning at church, and then there are truths of commerce that I believe Monday through Friday. If there's a unity of truth, if all the pieces of truth have to fit together to satisfy us as human beings, then these kinds of conversations reflect our experience in the world, ordinary people's experience in the world, and they are of profound importance, not just to physicists and not just to theologians, but to ordinary people living their lives as best they can. Now, physicists tend to be a little bit arrogant. It was a famous physicist who once said, physics is the only science. Everything else that calls itself science is basically just application. And, you know, dismissing chemistry and biology and all the rest. It's not something you hear chemists say about their own discipline. But what Steve has been working on and is reflected in other physicists is this idea that physics itself leads us to this question of the unity of truth. When we all learned Newtonian physics in high school, you remember this, Laura, you rolled the ball down the ramp.
Sure.
That's Newton's Principia. You shone a flashlight through a prism to get the rainbow. That's Newton's optics. What we forget, and what was not in our high school textbooks of Newtonian physics, was that Newton himself, in the Principia, his massive and important work on, you know, that founded physics for hundreds of years, Newton included what Steve described to us as the argument from design. The book ends with a note saying he has looked at the universe and he has perceived order. And the only thing he's perceived governance. And the only thing that makes that make sense is if there is the numinous, the divine. And so, you know, Steve's not the first physicist to reach out in this way and demand the unity of truth and to think that his own discipline leads him to the unity of truth. And he won't be the last. What makes Steve interesting is the way he tries to fold, and I believe succeeds, to fold his truly advanced knowledge and understanding of physics with an advanced knowledge of theology.
Dr. Barr, expand on what Dr. Bodman was saying there, and hopefully you can answer a question I have as well, because the whole point of this lecture is to bring these conversations to, as Jody said, that, you know, the ordinary person who's really just trying to, you know, to get through life in the best way that they can, both with science, advanced science, and theology. There are so many of these ordinary people of the rest of us who have at some point felt that these conversations are not for us. You can only go so far in science unless, you know, you're not smart enough to understand this thing, which is really just how the physical universe is, you know, we're all in this physical universe, and yet we're told that in some ways we can't understand that. And we're also, so many people have felt left out of the church in, you know, various ways because they've been told that they can't fully understand the nature of God. This is something the church has wrestled with. It's something that science wrestles with as they try to get people to understand, you know, high-level scientific thinking and research. Talk a little bit, if you will, Steve, about this idea of these things being for all of us.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't think it's necessary, for example, to be a deeply religious person, to be a very saintly person, to have a very sophisticated knowledge of theology. I mean, the people who are important in the church are not the theologians as much as the saints, and you don't need to have a deep knowledge of mathematical physics to appreciate the wonders of nature. So, for example, one thing I talk about is the beauty of everyone can appreciate the beauty of nature, the beauty of sunsets, the beauty of the things that the Hubble Space Telescope shows us, marvelous pictures of planets and galaxies, nebula, and so on. Everyone can appreciate that aspect of nature, and that is actually what points to God. As when I say the order of nature, the orderliness, the lawfulness, that also includes the harmoniousness, the beauty of nature. And so the traditional argument wasn't just that nature's orderly and lawful, but that it's harmonious and beautiful. And that, I think, can speak to everybody and is it one way to see the divine. One of the great scientists, one of the founders of modern science 400 years ago, Johannes Kepler, he discovered some mathematical laws, beautiful laws, governing the motion of planets. And he wrote this prayer. He said, "I thank you, Lord God, our Creator, that you have allowed me to see the beauty in your work of creation." And so that actually has been the attitude of the great scientists for centuries, actually until relatively recently in scientific history, is that the science was a way, was revealing the wonders of nature and how deep the beauty of nature goes. In fact, one of the great scientists, who was an Anglican, he's considered really the first modern chemist, the founder of chemistry, back in the 1600s, said the best day to do scientific experiments was Sunday because it was a form of worship. Hmm. So anyway, so I think that one doesn't have to have a lot of esoteric knowledge to appreciate some of the really important points.
The lecture is called Science, Religion, and the Myth of Conflict. It's the second annual Aquinas lecture, and it's scheduled for March 3rd at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Joseph Parish Hall in Sioux Falls. Dr. Stephen Barr, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Dr. Joseph Bottom, this is we have about 30 seconds left, but this is really opening up a dialogue in the state of South Dakota that has great potential. What do you hope next out of this? What do you hope in the days after this particular lecture, the kinds of conversations people will have? Can you answer that in 30 seconds?
Yeah, I think what we're looking for is that the conversation begins, that people realize that they are not alone in their sense, that the deep stuff of the universe that we all perceive in some inchoate and weak way, nonetheless has paths that lead to a sense that everything fits together, that there is a unity of truth, and that finally our lives and our experiences are capable of making sense.
Well said. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks.